military base, and the person said, seats, and everybody actually got in their seats. All right, so let me mention also in relationship to HOFCOM, there will be no Roman sermon next week, but there will also be no service here at the church. So if you can't come down for the weekend for some reason, you can still come down on Sunday and participate in the service down there. All right, and we'll have the Lord's table and all of the things that you would associate. We'll have a different speaker, you know, our weekend speaker that will be there. But it's only about an hour's drive down there, so I would encourage you, even if you can't come for the whole weekend, to be there for the Sunday service. Okay? Let me begin with a word of prayer. But first of all, there's a hurricane going through the Caribbean right now, and it's going to clip the edge. It's a Category 5 hurricane, so it's pretty serious. And it's going to clip the edge of Cuba, where Eliseo's family lives. And it's going to clip the edge of Haiti, where Bilson's family lives. So this could be pretty severe. And let's pray for that, and then pray for our time together. Lord, we do pray that you would protect Eliseo's family, that you would protect Bilson's family. And Lord, we just pray for the protection of everyone that's involved in this. I ask, Lord, that you would even veer the hurricane so it doesn't go through these areas. Lord, we look to you as the one who controls the weather. And we just ask for your help in that situation. Lord, I also pray you're the one who opens our eyes to be able to see and ears to be able to hear your word, the truths of the spiritual world. And so we just ask, Lord, that during this time that you could lead us spiritually as well. Amen. All right. Now, as most of you know, we've been going through Romans chapter 7 and 8, and we'll have just a little bit more after today on Romans 8. But the passage today is Romans 8, 26 through 27, just two verses, but they're very powerful verses. And so let me give you a bit of a summary before we go into the details. All right, so here is a bit of the summary. These verses are about the Holy Spirit, and the point is that the Holy Spirit empathizes with the severe weaknesses that we have because we're so easily beset by sin. So, he intercedes for us according to the will of God with deep groanings because he feels our helpless condition and suffering. All right, so that's the overall picture. And I'm going to be doing it in 6 points. So, point one is to read the passage. All right, so verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8. So, let me have you just look at that. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts, that's the Father, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, the Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So that's the first point. The second point, it has to do with our weakness. And what exactly that is. In verse 26, it says this, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. All right, so notice, first of all, that this passage is about our weakness. So if you didn't know you had any, then that's what verse says you do. Okay? And, you know, and your mom and dad have probably told you that anyway. All right, so this is the idea of it. And this weakness, the word is a Greek word which, according to Vines, means to take a share in or to help in bearing. So the idea here is that like a good friend who comes and puts his arm around us and feels for us and helps us to bear the load. The Holy Spirit is that person. He also helps us to bear the load and shows a concern for our hurts. In other words, just like the previous parts of the chapter, it's about encouragement. It's about the assurance that we have that God is on our side and that he is our helper. All right, now, in this passage, it also makes reference to groanings, too deep for words. Groanings is the word stenazo, which means to groan or with grief. And it has to do with the inward, unexpressed feelings of sorrow. So it doesn't say that the Holy Spirit has a knowledge too deep for words. That's true also. But he has groanings too deep for words. In other words, his heart is for us. He groans with our weakness because he's sympathetic to that. He's empathetic to everything that we are going through. He's our friend. And so he is groaning for us. All right, I've said this throughout the chapter, Romans 8, is that the purpose of the chapter is assurance. And it's to encourage us that we will make it to the fullness of God's kingdom. All right? That we have assurance that what God has begun in us, he will perfect in us if we know the Lord. All right, now, what is that weakness? Well, that reminds us of Romans 7, which, and the struggle with the flesh that we have. That's our most basic weakness that we all have as Christians, is that we have a struggle with the flesh. In fact, in chapter 6, verse 19, it says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. So it's the same word for weakness. It is our struggle with the flesh that causes our greatest and most general suffering. So we may think of our aches and pains in our body and that sort of thing, but what this is focusing on is the spiritual weakness that comes because we struggle with the flesh. All right, now, moving on to point 3, which has to do with the word also. What does the word also signify in verse 26? The Spirit also helps our weakness. Now, also clearly means that we need to look back at what God has done and said in the previous sections, which have to do with helping us in our weakness. So let me just review a few of those things in chapter 8 of Romans. 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That should be an encouragement. Chapter verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Well, that's an encouragement too. But it's not the end. There's a lot more encouragement in here. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Or verse 4, that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in you by being saved, by having the Spirit. Verse 6, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. These are all various things that are said in this chapter. And they are all said for our encouragement and assurance that what God has begun, he will perfect to the very end. Not just the end of this life, but until he accomplishes everything he expects to accomplish. Changing our lives, giving us a new body, and giving us a new world to live in. So that's the point of this passage. It has to do with encouragement. It has to do with assurance that God is on our side. But there also is a further work of the Holy Spirit that this passage is particularly about. And that is, he intercedes, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So, excuse me a minute. I apparently punched something I wasn't supposed to. There we go. So he's interceding for us. So our great weakness is the flesh, which never goes away in this life. You probably noticed that. And feels like a dead body that we are continually dragging around. And it's a miserable thing. But perhaps we need a good refresher on being miserable. And so that's my specialty. I can help us feel miserable. When I went to a college that had lots of women, girls there. At the very time when the miniskirt was the in thing. So I had a problem with lust. And, well, let's put it this way. I didn't have that much problem with lust until I was saved. You know, there's this thing about a spirit-driven conscience can be a real downer. It can make you feel miserable. And the more seriously you take the Christian life, the more miserable you can feel as the Holy Spirit is pointing out things that maybe he didn't point out before you were saved. All right, so we need encouragement. We need encouragement all the time. So what's been happening in the previous part of chapter 8? Encouragement. Over and over and over again. The encouragement that God is on our side and that he is working for our benefit. And chapter 8, verse 25 summarizes it pretty well. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. All right, why? Because God is building hope and perseverance in us as we look to God completing his work in us and in the world in general. All right, until his work is unveiled, verse 23 speaks of our situation in the future, quote, the adoption of sons, the redemption of our body. Now, chapter 7 might be a real downer, but God follows this because it's dealing with the struggle with the flesh. But God follows this with the encouragement of chapter 8. So let me remind you of some of the things that I've already said. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, ever. Verse 9, we are in Christ Jesus and therefore in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. Verse 14, we are being led or brought along by the Spirit. Verse 16, the Spirit is testifying with our spirit that we are sons of God. And 19, verse 19, we have the assurance of God's, of sharing Christ's glory. So all those different verses that were there for encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. All right. So the Holy Spirit is also involved in helping us our weakness. We have seen that our weakness refers to the struggle in the flesh, and before our salvation resulted in sin and death. Even if we attempted to be good law keepers, it resulted in sin and death before we were saved. All right, we need help. This is point 5. We need help. All right, so that's why we pray for ourselves, because we need help. Now, we recognize that God is the one sanctifying us, and that according to Hebrews 12:14, We have the job of pursuing that sanctification, quote, the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. All right, so there's our situation where there's a sanctification that's needed. God is the one who is ultimately our sanctifier, but we have a role. We are to pursue sanctification. All right, so we end up with this dealing with the weakness of our own flesh. All right, the problem is we don't know how to pray. And so, sorry about that. My thing seems contrary today. All right. We recognize that God is the one that sanctifies us, but we have a job in there too. We are to pursue sanctification, the sanctification that without which no one will see the Lord. We pursue this in order to overcome our weakness. The problem is we don't know how to pray. We don't even know what to pray for in our lives that will accomplish that sanctification that is necessary in order to see the Lord, which is exactly what the text of Romans 8:26 says, quote, "For we do not know how to pray as we should." Now, that's probably a good life verse, you know, or at least whenever you're starting a prayer time, you can start with that. Well, Lord, we don't know how to pray as we ought. And that's an important thing for us to recognize, because that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. But God has provided a solution for the problem, and that's verses 26 and 27, which I'll read again. "But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Or as the NET Bible says, inexpressible groanings. 27, "And he who searches the hearts," that's the Father, "knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he," the Holy Spirit, "intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." In other words, we don't always know what the will of God is. And despite the Holy Spirit being sympathetic, I don't think that we would always want to know what the will of God is. Let me give you an example. All right. In your prayer diary, you write, "Lord, I have such a problem with lust. Please provide me with a beautiful girl so I don't lust after other women." Okay. Now, we pass this request on to our editor, the Holy Spirit, who pulls out his blue editorial pen, and he rewrites it. "Lord, he has a problem with lust, so take away his eyesight so that he can learn not to stare at beautiful women, and so that he might learn what inner beauty really is. And Lord, teach him to walk in the Spirit so that he doesn't carry out the deeds of the flesh." Now, as I've read this, I've intended for it to be comical, but there's a real issue here. Why are there so many trials in our life when a sovereign and all-powerful God could prevent all of them? Could it be that our sanctification requires these things, that it needs these things, and that's why God allows them to come into our life? When we pray for God to take away our aches and pains, but he doesn't. Or he doesn't take away the lustful objects of our desire, which we're not necessarily praying about. Is it that these things are there so that we can, by the Spirit, become more like Christ and learn not to give in to our fleshly desires? In other words, he strengthens us. He doesn't keep us as naive and helpless babies. So, let me draw a conclusion from this. This is point six. What we have to remember is that when we go to be with the Lord, when we die, go be with the Lord, we will be 100% sanctified. We'll be ready to enter his kingdom. He will have accomplished in us, whether it's in a day or in 40, 50 years, He will accomplish His, what He wants done in our life. There will be 100% sanctification at that time. All right, now, this is why we have to struggle and suffer with the flesh now. That's part of God's program for sanctifying us. By placing our faith in Christ, we, quote, overcome the world, according to what John says in his writings. So we become overcomers because of what Christ has done and because of what the Holy Spirit continues to do. The believer is called an overcomer. All right. So, therefore, Romans 15:5 reminds us, now may the God who gives perseverance, wait a minute, I thought perseverance was something I had to do. Well, we certainly have our part in it, just like pursuing sanctification. But it's God who causes us to persevere and encourages us. May He grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. That's Romans 15:5. Just a reminder that ultimately, however much we struggle, how much we have problems with the flesh, God is going to win. He is the winner because He's the one who perseveres us. He's the one who enables us to persevere to the very end. And therefore, to receive what His promise is to us. That we who have the first fruits of the Spirit now will ultimately come into the new kingdom with a new heavens and a new earth and a new body for us. All right, so it isn't about trusting Christ once, that is, on the day that you made a profession of faith. It's about trusting Him every day until His perfect work is completed and there is a new us in a new heaven and new earth. So salvation may start at this point or at the point where we accept the Lord, but it doesn't end until God has fulfilled everything that He said He would do, including changing the creation and transforming us and giving us a new body. Let's close in a word of prayer and then we'll have our final song. Lord, we do thank You, first of all, that You're the one who causes us to persevere. Thank You, Lord, that You've written so many words of encouragement for us. And we just ask, Lord, that You would sustain us throughout all the days of our life and all the days of eternity. Amen. Mm-hmm.